Good morning! This is Sean from the SoulForge podcast. Be a better human, and you're listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for February 1st, 2022. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflow in studio.
What? It's a COVID miracle. Chip is here and we're together to record a podcast.
How did that happen, Steve? Magic, I say. The magic of recording.
It's really good to see you, sir. How are you? You are corporeal.
I am here, I am present, and I am ready to record, my friend. Today is the Lunar New Year.
Oh, Happy New Year. I figured there was a reason why you were here. Happy New Year, everyone.
This is the Far East, am I correct?
You traveled west.
I traveled towards China, towards Japan, towards all those Asian countries. I didn't quite get there, Steve.
Magellan.
I seem to have been lost. This is India, right?
You're the Indians, right?
It is the year of the tiger, my friend.
And I know what the next joke is, so go right ahead, Chip. Tell me all about 2022 and Tiger King being resentenced, and Tiger King is still in jail for the year of the tiger.
He will be in jail for a long time, Steve. And you know, who knows? It is the eye of the tiger that we're wanting to know.
The thrill of the fight.
The thrill of the fight. I must break you.
Down, get my film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. Chip, did you go to a movie theater this week?
I did not go to a movie theater this week, Steve. I watched mine on streaming.
All right. So you got to see The Murders at Starved Rock. This is on HBO Max. Tell us all about this one.
So this was released at the end of December. Okay. So it was on my list of things to watch, and I finally got to watch it. It's a three-part series, and it is about the murders up at Starved Rock, Illinois. So it is relatively local. This happened back in the, I'm throwing out some stuff, in the 1960s. Three women left the Chicago area, went down, and they were murdered. And then there was a gentleman who was convicted of that murder and went to jail for a long, long time. And for 60 years, he sat in jail and proclaimed his innocence. He was finally let out just in time for, you know, COVID to start, Steve. And so at his halfway house, that's the tragedy of it. At his halfway house, he had to remain with masks, still unable to really spend any time with his family.
Wow.
So there is a mystery to it. The person who is our filmmaker, he is the son of the prosecutor.
Okay.
What we learn is that, you know, this was a very tragic murder. And this was not the best case that was put together by the state of Illinois and the representatives. But he may have not have been represented very well, while the filmmaker's father was very adamant that this man was guilty. There was a lot of questions that could be asked. And that's exactly why this type of presentation comes to light.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, many of the people who were the jury and the prosecutor and the defendants and so on, many of them are dead now, except for this man whose life has been taken from him.
Right.
Now, I don't want to give every twist and turn on this, but you do get a feeling of having sympathy for this person who was wrongfully convicted. He may not have been such a great guy.
Okay.
But may, you know, certainly that is to be said. I mean, there's things that happened. At the time that he was being tried, if the prosecutors had information that could have been beneficial to his defense, they did not have to provide it.
Right.
And that was certainly something that came to light here.
Mm-hmm.
They think they know who did it. I think they made a pretty good case that certainly can be brought to light that way.
Okay.
But, you know, it's the reason why it was of interest is it's local. I mean, it's central Illinois, but the reality is it's local.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we go and we go hiking and spend time. And
Starved Rock State Park is a wonderful place to go hiking and go spend time. And it is so close to where I live, and it's such a beautiful spot, and it has such a rich history. Mm-hmm. This particular murder being, you know, a stain on that history.
Yeah, and it was 60 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly you can imagine a community like, I mean, Ottawa and LaSalle, they don't want this out. They want people to come visit the state park.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's always something going on. Not every person is a good person. And, you know, decisions were made.
Right.
And we had three people pass away. Certainly the families of the victims were shocked that this person was let out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if you watch this, you would have some sympathy for him. But just recognize that every show ends with some revelation mm-hmm. that moves you to the next one.
So this is three episodes. Would you recommend this as a documentary for most of our listeners?
Especially for people in Illinois. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that is of interest. And I think that in general, if you're a person who has interest in the law and why we don't have a death penalty, this would be a good example. Because he's not the only person that has been put in jail for life
mm-hmm.
where death penalty was on the agenda. It could have been part of it. The other thing I will also mention to you is coercing a confession is not the most up and up way.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, which brings us to our next film that we watched, a documentary,
mm-hmm.
that was recommended. This documentary we're going to talk about now was recommended to me from a client. I'm in a client meeting and they go, "Oh, have you seen this?"
Huh.
And so I said, "No." And they go, "You have to watch this."
All right. So this is 13th. This is on Netflix. It was put out in 2016. Mm-hmm. And Netflix has gone ahead and given us the full movie on YouTube. You can watch this without a Netflix subscription.
So it is February 1st today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beginning of American Black History Month.
Correct.
And this is a wonderful documentary to start Black History Month. Not because it's the subject is happy. It's because it's about awareness, mm-hmm. about history, American history, Black American history, and some of the challenges we're dealing with. So some of the statistics they brought up during this film were one out of 17 white men are in jail mm-hmm. in the United States. One out of 17
wow.
have served jail,
mm-hmm.
have served some time in jail. One out of three Black men
wow.
have served time in jail. First of all, one out of 17 should just make your jaw open up.
Mm-hmm.
This is a wonderful film and making the presentation. I don't think it has the entire story here because I'm going to go ahead and bring out what I think is the weakness of this. I think that there were rules that were put into things that were passed, the fight on poverty, the war on poverty, that broke up families.
Mm-hmm.
That was an unintended consequence. Okay. It certainly wasn't, no one meant to destroy families, but it certainly did.
Yeah.
But this is from a presentation from the beginning of the United States to the plight today, particularly of Black males. And I think this is, it should shock you. And it should also make you aware of some of the real challenges we have. And this right here is, I think, the story that our generation, we've got to solve this. This is not for the next generation to solve. This is for Gen Xers. Our generation needs to solve this.
So this is focused on the prison system and the inequality of prisoners in the United States.
Well, that's part of it. Part of it is how we got here.
Okay.
And so they make an entire case, you know, from slavery, the Civil War, to Jim Crow laws, blah, 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 blah. Keep going. Some of the things they didn't mention, they blame the South a lot on this. And that's because there's a lot of Black people were in the South, obviously. Mm-hmm. One of the things they talked about is the migration to Chicago, to St. Louis, to California. They said these weren't people moving for economic. These were refugees
mm-hmm.
who were escaping. That's a very interesting conversation. By the way, many of the presenters here are professors. So you're not just getting activists and stuff like that. These are people who certainly have spent a lot of time studying the issue. But where it really comes into play for our generation is back in the early 70s, President Nixon came out with a war on drugs. And what they're suggesting is that was code word. And that was the code word was as a war on black people. And when they talk about law and order and stuff like that, think about Lightfoot and the challenges she has downtown Chicago right now. Okay, so we're still dealing with, it's not drug, war on drugs, but we're dealing with like law and order.
Right.
And when they say stuff like that, it basically many times it's like control a group that is potentially disadvantaged. This certainly should make you think. So I don't think it was fair to throw it all in the South. One of the things that they bring up was The Birth of a Nation, which was a film that came out in, say, 1915. So if you think about, you know, 1865, Civil War's over. So what are you looking at? 50 years later. And the way black people were portrayed in this film and in many films is they were aggressors and they were sexual deviants and, you know, they were dangerous people. So all of a sudden, Hollywood, in the public consciousness, which this should make you think about how we're viewing films today, brought up what became the Ku Klux Klan, the saviors of, you know, they brought law and order to the, and that's when you got the rise of the Klan.
Wow.
And so, I mean, it was like continuously fueling the fire. Now, redlining and stuff like that doesn't get addressed in here. But, you know, there's this whole challenge all the way through the civil rights movement, all the way up to today, this war on drugs, where we went from roughly 300,000 people in jail to, I think we have 2.5. What, we have 25% of the world's prisoners in the United States.
In the United States. 25% of the prisoners on Earth are in the United States.
Yeah, and that should really shock you. And if you're a governor of a state, this really needs to be addressed. Part of it is the war on drugs allowed to have a private prison system, created incentive for this. We have militarized police departments. There's all these things that continuously get created, and it creates just havoc. And it rifles through all society, but it particularly hits black men incredibly hard. Once again, you get out of prison, you served your time, you can't assimilate back in, you're a felon,
right?
You can't vote,
right?
You know, you can't, you're poor most likely. And where it ends is, think about where this could go. Steve, they could put a bracelet on you and you are not in jail anymore, but you're required to stay in your home. Well, then you have your own home prison. So this is, it talks a little bit about this nasty system that we have created and how it is just another potential, what's the next level that, that we will go to?
Where will history go from here?
And you can, I mean, with technology the way it has now, I mean, it really could control a group of people. So we've got to find a better solution for this. You cannot leave this without recognizing that this is, I mean, just, this is not fair. It's not American. And we've got to find a different way of addressing this. Bless cell phones. There's your first thing. If you're a black male, bless cell phones. The challenge is that you could be the martyr.
And by cell phones, you mean the cameras. Everybody having a camera and having actual footage of actually this is what happened, as opposed to the he said, she said of court cases that have come up in the last 100 years, and the believability of this suspect.
And cell phones aren't perfect when they talk about fake news. You know, they've got somebody in like a, like, this is like the worst thing. And you found out the reporter standing in the middle of, I don't know, some kind of
the
swamp.
Small puddle, yeah.
Yeah, and it just looks worse than it is.
Right.
But the reality is it's better than what we've had in the past, and it certainly is exposing stuff. And many things that are, you know, just simple, like stop because a taillight was out. There's The guy was shot.
Mm-hmm.
How does that even happen?
Right.
Why are we even chasing vehicles through communities? We shouldn't be.
Right.
And then the other part is what can we do to solve this? I don't know. Ever since Lightfoot came out and just basically she started having her challenges, just think in your mind, how would you solve the challenges of Chicago? Violence, theft, you know, they're saying enough is enough. You got to, Lightfoot's not going to be reelected. But how would you solve the challenges of most of Chicago? Like the, and if you can solve that,
right?
It's going to have to be money. It's going to have to be a different way of working together.
Mm-hmm.
It's complicated. It's much more complicated. This certainly is enlightening. You should watch 13th.
All right. I got a chance to see a documentary as well. It must be documentary week here on Too Much Scrolling. I saw Janet Jackson, the documentary film that she made about herself to try to get her story out there about the rise of one of my favorite singers.
So was this like a promotional film like Michael Jackson used to put out?
Yeah. It is. This is Janet Jackson reading the playbook of
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson and all of the rest of the celebrities in the world that make their own movie and go, here is my perspective on how I got here.
I remember Michael Jackson, like he'd have a new album come out. It's like whatever the new artist of the day, they would film them saying what an inspiration Michael Jackson was to him, to their career. It was so... my assumption is, what does she need to tell us?
Well, the main thrust of her...
She's in control, right?
That's it. You got it. That is the main theme of this documentary, is her childhood was fine. There was nothing wrong with her childhood. She wants everybody to know that her father was not abusive. Her father was controlling, and she wanted to get away from her father and was able to do so and put out the Control album. And that statement about I am in control, I can make my own destiny, that is the important theme of this documentary.
Did she get to the part where if she was in a room with Jimmy Fallon that they would have a contest on who could giggle more?
Oh, she's a giggler. She is a giggler for
sure. And so
is
Jimmy Fallon. Yeah. So they both could just get, it's like a giggle fest.
Yes. She is adorable. Looking back at the footage of her as a child, you see that spark of creativity. You see that ability to sing and to put on a show from when she was 7 years old and on the stage in Las Vegas. And to today, where she is a in control, full-fledged adult, and adorable and smiling, and then getting to those heartfelt moments, those moments where she feels sad for what has happened to her family,
mm-hmm.
especially with Michael, and how she feels like she was always living in the shadow of Michael Jackson, which she was.
But everyone was.
That's true.
I mean, think about it. The only artist that probably was more popular than Michael Jackson was Elvis.
Elvis. And the Beatles. The Jackson 5 was certainly not like the Beatles for a certain community of people.
No.
There were plenty of people that came out to see the stage work from the Jackson 5.
But they were big.
Uh-huh.
But no. Michael Jackson was on a whole different level.
Agreed.
Like a whole different level. He was like Elvis. He was like the Beatles. They were on a stratosphere. You know, Madonna's big. And Sting is big, and Bruce Springsteen's big, Prince is big.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jackson was on a different level.
Beyond.
And those were, contemporaries of him.
Right.
And then Janet came in, and she got to be as big as many of them.
Yeah, she reached a height, especially with the Rhythm Nation tour, which was her first tour as an artist. That was her first tour, was this enormous Rhythm Nation tour that just blew everything out of the water at the time. She never really got back to that height of touring. The ticket sales for her later tours, not quite as big as that, but it was enormous.
But that's the impossibility of, you know, imagine, like, I'm going to use Michael Jackson. Imagine bringing out Thriller, and you've got to follow it up. He followed up with Bad.
Yeah.
Which was really, really big. Maybe not as big as Thriller, but certainly
not
really big.
Not nearly as big as Thriller.
But really big.
Right.
And then he had to continue to do it. I mean, it just, it's so unlikely to continue to create that type of noise.
Right.
And I just want to let you know that one of us here drove through Gary, Indiana this week. So the Jacksons were on my mind, Steve.
Isn't that interesting? What an interesting turn of history here that we are here on February 1st, the first day of Black History Month. You went through Gary, Indiana and took a picture of the sign.
I did.
This way to the Jackson 5's home. And I watched the documentary where Janet goes and visits that home.
And I did a moonwalk to come over here, Steve. Everybody cheered.
Everybody was really excited. All the people on the street. Oh, Chip is coming into the studio, everyone. Let's go line the streets.
He's going to do he's going to moonwalk his way and spin his way.
I don't know if I can specifically endorse this documentary for everybody, but for those of you who have a very fond memory of Janet Jackson, and I adore her, and I love her work, I love this documentary. I know that it's one-sided. I know that it's a promotional piece, and I still enjoy it just as much as I enjoy going to Graceland and hearing about how wonderful Elvis was to his family.
Stevie had a jungle room.
I love the jungle room. The jungle room, there's a lot about the jungle room that is not exactly used as a pattern in my home, but the jungle room is definitely special. I like this very much. I think anybody who loves Janet Jackson will love this documentary.
Well, there's three opportunities to watch something because we're going to, you know, introduce what's coming out this week.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look that strong.
Yeah. Like we said, this is documentary week on Too Much Scrolling because the movies that are coming out this week, not so strong.
So tomorrow is February 2nd, Steve, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But Bill Murray, interestingly enough, is going to be singing to us.
What an interesting person Bill Murray is. We've talked about him so much over the years. He is an inspiration to us as somebody who just takes and does the thing that he wants to do in the moment. Staying in the moment is key to Bill Murray's philosophy.
So the movie that comes out on February 2nd is New World's The Cradle of Civilization.
Uh-huh. Starring Bill Murray.
Singing
on stage. Bill Murray. And reciting these idealistic ideas about life and civilization, and it's Bill Murray.
And, you know, it's the Tao of Bill Murray.
It is.
There
it
we go,
really
Steve.
It really is. I would actually want to watch this at some point.
It's a world tour. They're saying, oh, Bill Murray singing? He's always singing.
On Saturday Night Live, the lounge singer.
Close Encounters theme.
Star Wars.
Close Encounters thing.
I love Bill Murray. I don't know that I love the latest Ghostbusters, the Bill Murray part of it specifically, but I do love his philosophy, following his ideals and ideas throughout time.
Well, if you were a young person this week and you wanted to watch a sappy movie, what would you watch, Steve?
If you are a young person who loves caring for animals, this is my sister's movie of the week. My animal-loving sister will probably get a chance to see The Wolf and the Lion. This is a very heart-touching Canadian story about a young lady who finds a wolf and then finds a lion, and the lion and the wolf live together, and Graham Greene is there to tell us all about it. Bull butter.
Well, the circus wants their lion back, Steve. They're the bad people. And the wolf and the lion will be best friends.
They're going to shut down the community center if we don't put on the dance recital, right?
All right, Steve, let's say that the moon was, coming closer to the Earth. Is there a movie for us?
Yes, there is a movie called Moonfall that's coming out this week.
On Lunar New Year. Yeah. Moonfall.
It's
got Halle Berry, Steve.
Halle Berry, Patrick Wilson, John Bradley, Michael Pena, Donald Sutherland. This is a star-studded lump of
Steve, they took a paycheck and they got this film done.
Written and directed by Roland Emmerich, who you would know from Independence Day, the bad version of Godzilla, and The Day After Tomorrow. This is a movie that will come out in February for sure.
God save us all. Steve, I'm looking for a film by Mel Gibson. Is there something coming out this week?
Yeah, Mel Gibson is still making movies somehow, and there's still people who are willing to work with him. In this case, it's Robin Givens who takes a turn. The movie is called Last Looks. This is a disgraced ex-cop seeking solace by moving to the woods to find a quiet life. I wonder if that's going to work out well for him.
Disgraced ex-cop. There you go. Disgraced. There we go. Steve, let's go back into where, you know, the movies were really tasteless. What can we find out from Johnny Knoxville?
Oh, boy. Johnny Knoxville's back, everyone. Everybody, hey, everyone, look, it's Johnny Knoxville. Jackass Forever, the fourth Jackass movie, is coming out this year. After 11 years, the Jackass crew is back for their final crusade. Johnny Knoxville, Steve-O, Wee Man, and some featured guest stars. Machine Gun Kelly is in this one.
Well, we'll see if they all survive, because I'm sure they're going to get knocked in the crotch many, many times.
Yeah, I have no love for this franchise. I know that it exists. I know that it's part of our history and our culture somehow, but I don't get it.
Well, you know what? That's not the only tasteless film coming out this week, Steve. There's also something on Hulu.
Yes, there's an 8-episode miniseries coming to Hulu.
8 episodes.
Episode miniseries coming to Hulu this week. It's called Pam and Tommy, the story of Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee's relationship, going back to their whirlwind romance and all of the salacious details therein.
Well, you know what? There probably is a film online you could find about them, and probably be a lot less than 8 episodes.
That was only 1 episode. I actually think that this might be a reasonable program.
You can think that.
I can think that. Lily James certainly looks like Pamela Anderson in makeup in this.
Okay.
And Sebastian Stan, who was in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is playing Tommy Lee. His makeup is also just right. And we've got Nick Offerman as the comic relief to tell us all about this video that is found and then disseminated.
Well, we'll see if we can find things to watch this week, Steve, so we can report next week.
More documentaries. Book it. Brings us to our book. At our book of the week, you, my friend, you have been reading a book that you brought to us a few times and we didn't get to until today. Today's your day. You got to read Monsters by Barry Windsor Smith.
Yes, and I wanted to mention that when we were doing Sandwiches at Irregular Hours with Professor Pamela Bedore, we were rotating books. This was one that was on our list. This is a graphic novel. Barry Windsor Smith has a long history. Started working with Marvel back in the late 60s. You may have known him because he was the first artist for Conan the Barbarian when Marvel took over the rights to it.
Okay.
And they were trying to sell anything. So they bought the rights to Conan and Star Wars and all these other properties. But he is a master storyteller. This book originally started out to be an Incredible Hulk story.
Okay.
And it was a proposal that was given to Marvel, and they approved it. But one of the writers of The Incredible Hulk saw it, incorporated some of the themes into the series. And so Barry Windsor Smith took the property back, basically worked on it privately for 35 years.
Wow.
So eventually it was finished. It was released last April or May of last year. So it's brand new. This is a master story. There's a part of it is Stephen King. Part of it is The Incredible Hulk. Part of it is Project Paperclip. There's all sorts of things going on here. And I think this is a very, very, when I said good story, you know, it's one of those things when you read a Stephen King book, you go, you know, I got through it. And this was enjoyable to read and interesting. But, you know, what the subjects that are being talked about in here are certainly not light subjects. We're talking about child abuse here. We're talking about espionage. We're talking about people having post-traumatic stress disorder, basically going insane, being in war situations. Hmm. And then we're also talking about The Shining. So
interesting.
I know. So let's talk a little bit about Bobby Bailey. That's not Bruce Banner, Steve.
Not Bruce Banner.
Not Bruce Banner.
Totally different character. Ricky Rouse. Yes. And Monald Muck. Yes.
So Bobby Bailey is a little boy. His father went off to war. He was home with his mom. His father was in a military unit during World War II, who basically eventually got into a secret program that the Germans were working on humans. So scientists were trying to make super soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And so you can imagine the torture and all that other stuff that comes in with that. Well, eventually dad comes home. And he's having a hard time assimilating, and there's the abuse that comes from it and all sorts of things. They're trying to make home life good. Bobby, unfortunately, and his mom are, you know, they're destroyed by this. Mm. Bobby ends up having tragedy all around him. His mom and dad both are dead. And he walks into a military facility to volunteer for the military. He doesn't have an eye, by the way. And they decide to take him in for a secret project.
Hmm.
And there's where he ends up, through all sorts of things, becoming a Hulk-like character. And his journey is to escape and to make his way home. It's a tough story to kind of read. And it reveals itself. It's beautifully presented. You've got a master storyteller. One of the things that I'll criticize for, a lot of it was using how people talk, sort of their...
Dialects.
Yeah, sometimes that would be a little bit dated.
Yeah, I enjoy some authors that can use dialects appropriately, mm-hmm. and then sometimes they really trip me up.
Well, and the other part is that there's a World War II part to it, and the presentation of the torture and stuff mm-hmm. like that. It's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Fascinating story. In fact, I would recommend it. If you haven't read a graphic novel, this would make a good one to read, especially if you're an adult. This is not a children's story. Okay. Road to Perdition, it would be another one that eventually was made into a movie. There's just a lot of Black Hole would be another. So this certainly, if you were taking a class mm-hmm. on graphic novels, this would certainly be there to read. And like I said, this would be maybe more mature adolescent and above.
It's so interesting to me that Barry Windsor Smith has been working on this story for 35 years. And do you feel in the storytelling how long it took for him to get to the feeling that you get from the story?
No, well, it was a master story from the beginning.
Okay.
So I don't know if he had to redraw some pages or not. If you looked at the first 10 issues of Conan the Barbarian,
mm-hmm.
so Marvel is going through a really tough time in the 1970s. Roy Thomas, who was, I think, the editor-in-chief at the time, suggested that they buy properties to produce books. They did not want Barry Windsor Smith. He was a new artist at the time. They wanted John Buscema to be the artist, but they couldn't afford his page rate.
Hmm.
So what they ended up doing is giving the work to Barry Windsor Smith. Now, Barry, his first issue is very good, and you can see over the first, say, 10 issues where he got better and better and better. He really improved his storytelling. And then by the time we get to the 1980s, he's doing the coloring and stuff like that, not for other books. And he just got really, like, top-notch. The best is what he really got to. But this must have always been worked in the past, and I think he was... this is pure speculation. I think he was pretty angry that this wasn't a Hulk story.
Hmm.
But it didn't need to be a Hulk story. The Hulk was an Atomic Age, Jekyll and Hyde, Frankenstein's Monsters type story.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, the child abuse became part of the backstory. That was added probably in the 80s or 90s at some point. But Barry Windsor Smith was, I think, the person who recommended that. So he removed that from their property. This is his story. This is not a Hulk story. But, you can see all through it, the flashes of the Hulk in it. But it's beyond that. It is, like I said, kind of a Stephen King type story. I think this would make a great miniseries. I think this would make a great film. And just one film. And it is a one story.
Okay.
So I think that this is there's no ending that's going to continue from this.
Okay. And you were there with the characters, the emotional connection with these characters is
yes.
Yeah.
If I said master storyteller, I really do mean it. There are people who really know how to tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a long time. It may take 20 years to really understand your craft. And Barry Windsor Smith, it doesn't get any better. Doesn't get any better. This is, once again, an adult book, a grown-up book. And maybe late adolescent would be fine to read it. But you're dealing with some heavy stuff.
Wow. All right. That's Monsters by Barry Windsor Smith.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our scroll with it. Hey, Chip, it's February. Do you feel like you've done this before?
I like a sweet vermouth on the rocks with a twist, Steve.
And a toast to world peace. It is the anniversary of Groundhog Day tomorrow, February 2nd.
Ned Ryerson.
We should go back out to Woodstock, shouldn't we? It's been a long time since we actually visited the filming location for that movie. It's right there.
Well, Punxsutawney Phil is in Pennsylvania, but Woodstock, Illinois is home of Groundhog Day.
Yeah, Woodstock Willie, our own personal Woodstock Groundhog, will be making its prediction for the weather for the forthcoming winter.
There's a lot of growing to do in a single day, Steve. That just goes on forever.
Just go on forever. It's like COVID.
Well, I remember reading about the movie, and I say it every year. I kept thinking that there was a story that came, like they came from a short story, a novella, something. No. So the question that keeps being asked is how long was Phil in that vortex, where the day kept going on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And some people say, it could be 5 years or 10 years. Some people say it could have been thousands of years.
Yeah.
And the point is that he really understood he couldn't control everything, but he had an impact on everything.
What a great philosophy. What a great life philosophy to get out of a stupid, silly little comedy.
Think about that. He comes off, he's jaded in life, it's weighing him down. Just what a great thing to remind yourself of. Mm-hmm. He tries to save that man who's the homeless man. He can't do it.
Right.
He learns everybody's secret in the town. So everybody has their own burden that they're carrying. He eats a lot of donuts. He tries to manipulate a person into loving him.
Uh-huh.
What it ultimately comes out to is he accepts his moment.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up becoming very, very empathetic to those around him.
Mm-hmm.
And truly just recognizes that, it is the moment, the day to live.
That whole philosophy, that back to Bill Murray as a human, that idea of being in the moment, the present, don't worry about the past, don't dwell on the past, and don't worry too much about the future either. There's certain things you can control and certain things you can't. Worry about right now. Be present in the moment. That is so amazing to get out of this silly comedy film.
And young people like wrestling tickets. Mm-hmm. And to buy lots of insurance from Ned Ryerson.
Make people happy. Make people happy in the moment, right now. I love this movie. Yes, it's Groundhog Day. I don't exactly love the concept of Groundhog Day, the holiday. It's a little weird to me that we still do this in the age of the 21st century, but...
But it's harmless.
It's harmless.
And that's what it is. What it ends up... If COVID has taught us anything, it is that, it's not because it's Groundhog Day. No man's being hurt by Groundhog Day.
Right.
They bring out a groundhog. They raise it to the sky.
It might bite the guy. It might pee on him. Depends.
Maybe winter keeps going. Maybe it doesn't. You never know. But nobody's taking this seriously.
Right.
But it's playful. Mm-hmm. And we don't underestimate the value of being playful.
There you go. That's beautiful, man.
Field day comes in April or May, right? For your school.
Yeah.
Every kid loves field day.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's field day. Groundhog Day, if you haven't watched that movie in a while, you should really watch it and really think about the philosophy of it.
Well, before we get started on our last story, I did want to mention that the Super Bowl has been set. It's 2 weeks from, not quite 2 weeks, but not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, mm-hmm. and the two teams will be playing.
Yes, there will definitely be two teams playing in the Super Bowl on February 13th.
And those games on Sunday were incredible.
I can't believe that team vanquished that other team.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Welcome to Sports Talk.
Which brings us to, Steve, the Washington football team tomorrow.
Yes.
On February 2nd, on Groundhog Day, is going to name their new nickname.
They have a new nickname that they are going to announce tomorrow.
The Groundhog.
The Washington Groundhogs.
They are the hogs. That's what they've always called their linemen, the hogs.
So, do you have a wager on what the name is going to be for the Washington football team?
Well, Steve, this may or may not be true. There are a bunch of names that were presented. There was the Red Tails is one of them. There was the Hogs, interestingly enough. There was the Admirals, the Commodores, and it looks like, well, at least as of our recording, that it could be the Commodores. And I think that means that Lionel Richie and all those guys are going to be very, very happy.
So they're going to play, they're not going to play at noon anymore on Sunday because they're going to make it easy like Sunday morning.
Exactly. They're going to have a whole group of dancing. Everybody's going to have shiny silver shirts on. And they're not going to have cheerleaders anymore. They're going to have this like easy band, this band that's going to be playing in the corner.
They don't have to do easy like Sunday morning. They could play later in the day because they do like working on the night shift.
That's only after Lionel left, Steve. That's only after Lionel left.
Hello.
That would be, if it does come out to be the Commodores, it is going to be so awesome because it's going to be like some military theme. But of course, every single
person.
Please God, make Lionel Richie and the Commodores open up the stadium next year. That would be so wonderful.
The middle-aged people would be just enjoying that so much, and the young people would be like, what is happening? Why is Lionel Richie here?
That's right. That's not Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Close
enough. I mean, all those hits, that they'll just keep playing, and it'll be so, so wonderful.
We'll see. We'll see what happens with the naming of the Washington football team. It's so great that they finally get a name. We get names when we're born, usually. This team, they haven't had a name.
I wanted them to be the Washington football team. I really did. I didn't think they needed to rename it. I thought that was just, I mean, you had to give up your nickname.
Yeah.
Because it's certainly not of its time.
Not okay, yeah.
And why not just remain the football team?
So Daily Tech News Show is a fine title for you for a podcast.
That would be fine.
It's fine.
Fine.
It's a placeholder and it's fine.
Well, it's easy. Easy like Sunday morning.
I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Stephen. Can we come back dressed like the Commodores?
You're going to be not in studio next week, so you can dress however you want. And that is not a dare. That is not a dare.
Bell bottoms are going to be in again, Steve.
At least he has pants on. We would love to hear from you. Give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and YouTube. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm not Lionel Richie. I'm Chip Hessenfeld.
You're still easy. See you in the future.